I had to shift my expectations to see that a crowd pleaser is not so much about what they do or don't eat, but instead it's, did we enjoy the mealtime together? Rather than, did my kids enjoy the meal? Do you see that simple mindset shift and yet how powerful it can be? Because if we adjust our expectations from, did our kids enjoy the meal, as in the food itself, versus, did my kids enjoy themselves at the meal? It can change everything.
Hey mama, I'm Ashley, and welcome to the Veggies and Virtue podcast. In this podcast, you will find simple menu ideas, kitchen organizational systems spelled out for mom life, and feeding tips and tricks that are both evidence-based and grace-laced. I believe that you can find flexibility when it comes to feeding your family so that you can feel calm, capable, and connected in the kitchen. As a registered dietitian and Christian mom of three myself, I want you to break free from the mealtime battles and to feel equipped while feeding your kids all day long. Pull up a stool at my kitchen counter and let me pour you a cup of coffee and say a quick prayer for you. It's time to chat about the mealtimes, messes, moments, and ministry of motherhood.
Nothing is more annoying than when you put the time and energy into meal planning and grocery shopping and cooking and getting everyone to the table to eat than when your kids finally sit down and they say, "Ew, I don't like that," or "I don't want this." Like, even not to be rude, but even like mocking their voice, I feel like it's probably like nails on a chalkboard to my fellow mom. Because maybe in your home, like mine, sometimes this even starts before you get to the table. I know that feeling I get in the pit of my stomach when my child asks me what for dinner, and I tense up just a little bit knowing that they aren't really gonna like it, knowing that it's not their favorite, knowing that it's one that they're probably gonna have some feelings about. And while this is something that we've worked through for years in my house and thankfully is not triggering for me, I know that it historically has been, and I hear from so many clients that this is a huge pain point because we all crave those easy weeknight dinners, but with that, we're craving the ease of getting to eat them with our kids and it not feel like a fight. And so we have this internal fight over how to offer crowd pleasers to our kids so that the meal can be enjoyable for everyone. Everyone eats and the meal feels easy. That's why in this episode, I'm going to tell you how you can create crowd pleasers and accomplish ease with weeknight dinners. But first, I'm going to real quick share this week's announcement and this week's reader review. First, if you have not yet signed up for my free 1-hour workshop on how to reduce mealtime overwhelm without the expectation of ever meal prepping, make sure that you scroll down to the show notes or that you go to veggiesandvirtue.com/workshop, get signed up. It's a free 1-hour workshop happening on January 18th. I'm super excited to share it with you guys. And I know that no matter what life stage you're at, you are going to find the content that we cover in the workshop super helpful. Which leads me to this review that I got from Jennifer. She said, "Excellent for families in all stages of life." She gave 5 stars and then shares, "My kids range from kindergarten to high school, and Ashley gives tips that work great for all ages and stages. I especially love how real she is about making things work for your own family. Her approach is to truly serve her audience and give from her heart. You will love this podcast." Jennifer, thank you so much for leaving me that review. Truly means the world to me and encourages me to continue to show up and serve you all. Because yes, that is definitely the heart behind Veggies and Virtue as a business, but also with this podcast. So if you have not yet left me a review, please just scroll down on your podcast player, tap write a review, hit 5 stars, and share with me what the show means to you and anything that it has done for you and your family in your feeding relationship. Otherwise, for the context of today's episode, I want to go ahead and dive in to how you can create ease and crowd pleasers at the same time during the chaos of weeknight meals. So the first thing that you need to do is you need to begin adjusting your expectations, because so often we assume a crowd pleaser means that everyone eats it. And we can almost like envision the whole table. And I would ask yourself, and maybe even journal this because it might be a helpful reflective exercise for you to do. But if you considered what does a crowd pleaser look like to you, you might envision everyone sitting at the table and being like, wow, mom, you're the best. This is my favorite. Oh, wow. Gee whiz, mom, this just tastes delicious. But even saying that just sounds silly, right? Because we know the sarcasm that I'm saying that with, because as moms, we can make our kids' favorite dish. But if we cook it a little bit too long, or if we made it just a tiny bit different, or we used this shape of noodle instead of that one, or this color cheese instead of that one, or cut something this way instead of that way, what would have otherwise been a quote-unquote crowd pleaser now may be one that our kid barely touches. And as moms, we know that that can be so frustrating. However, when I know that it's my job not to get my kid to eat what is offered, my expectations of what I consider a crowd pleaser no longer weighs on me whether or not they eat it. Now the weight of was this meal a crowd pleaser or not is not resting on my shoulders, because I have done my job. I've done it with love and compassion, and while also setting appropriate and necessary parental limits. And whether or not they eat it is ultimately not on me. Instead, it becomes much more centered around the attitudes and the environment of the table. And so I begin adjusting my expectations. And again, this is a process I have had to work through so much as a mom. I think this is why God gave me kids that don't just love and adore everything I make and everything I offer them, because I had to shift my expectations to see that a crowd pleaser is not so much about what they do or don't eat, but instead it's, did we enjoy the mealtime together, rather than did my kids enjoy the meal? Do you see that simple mindset shift and yet how powerful it can be? Because if we adjust our expectations from did our kids enjoy the meal, as in the food itself, versus did my kids enjoy themselves at the meal, it can change everything. So I begin to ask myself, were my husband and I able to maintain our feeding roles without our frustration showing, or without feeling the need to intervene where it wasn't our job to do so? Or do I see, did our kids show eating competence, and then they show that they continue to mature and develop the muscles needed to be intuitive eaters, where there wasn't an expectation or a pressure on how much they ate for the validation that this meal was a crowd pleaser? But so often our best meals, I honestly have no idea how much my kids ate of what, because I'm not fixated on it and I'm not focused on it. But instead, I've already adjusted my expectations to what is pleasing to the crowd. And I know that if I can focus that more on the attitudes that we have around eating and our eating environment, we can have so many more crowd-pleasing meals, especially in the hustle and the bustle of weeknight dinners when things are crazy. And if I'm also pushing this agenda on them of how much they need to eat, or I'm putting the pressure on myself that I want this to be a crowd pleaser and I put all this effort into cooking and now you better eat it, gosh darn it. Well, then that just escalates the intensity that we already have on those weeknights. But I want, with this adjusting of our expectations, something I remind myself often, and this is the long haul. This is the marathon, not the sprint. And so again, that might in and of itself be an adjustment that you need to make in your own feeding approach. But sometimes I think to myself, in the long term, is this meal that I just made, whether anyone ate anything from it or not, is this one that they will look back on from their childhood with fondness? Will they look at this meal and think, oh, I remember when my mom used to make this chicken stir fry. You guys will probably hear me talk about chicken stir fry all the time because my husband and I love it. And God willing, someday my kids will too. But it's still the one that's probably one of the more challenging ones to offer because it just has the fewest love it foods that come about for my kids with it. Many of the other ones I've been offering all these years, they've learned to like. But the chicken stir fry is still an evolving process. And so I use that example a lot because that's one of the key ones in our house. But what I think to myself is one of my most fond memories. Some of you may know that from being in this community for a while, but my dad has passed. He passed about 6 years ago now, and he made stir fry growing up. And I cannot replicate how he made it, but I have such fond memories of that stir fry, and I love it. And I don't even remember how much I actually loved it as a kid, but in my head, I loved it. And if I asked my mom, did I actually love it as a kid? I don't honestly know. I should probably ask her. I was a pretty adventurous eater, so the chances are I might have eaten it. But the point is that I think back with such fondness. And even when I think back to French dip, which was my brother's like favorite, and it was like one of the things I remember being my least favorite as a kid, I can still now look back on it with fondness and think that it sounds good. And so the reason I bring this up is because I think it's important for us to look forward, not just here and now when we're in the grind of the day and it seems like eating is just a task to like to do and a box to check. But instead, I think if we can think of the crowd pleasers as being something that our kids will look back on as a meal that they want to make for their family, that in the future that they have the eating competence to enjoy and actually eat from, but they also remember us setting that foundation for them early on where we offered this to them, and instead of us shoving it down their throat or expecting them to take so many bites or pressuring or bribing or whatever the tactics may be to get them to just eat, instead they think, those were such pleasant meals. Oh, I remember us just sitting and making a snow dome out of Dad's espresso cup with the white rice on chicken stir fry night. Did they eat the chicken stir fry? No. And I might someday forget this. You know, with motherhood, lots of the negative things, thankfully, just kind of fade out over time. And that might be something I forget down the road. But what I hope my kids remember is not a negative association to this meal, because every time Mom offered it, it was just, ugh, no one wanted to be at the table. Everyone hated the meal. Everyone was arguing. That's not what I want. What I want from this crowd pleaser is one that I can make down the road for my kids and then say, oh, Mom, I remember when you used to make this for me growing up. Whether they eat it or not right now. The second thing I want you to think about is accepting that everyone's plates are going to look different, and that is okay. This is not an indicator of how well you have done your job, because we need to remember our job is deciding what, when, and where food is offered. Our child's job in the feeding relationship is to decide if, whether they eat and how much of the food that they eat. So if I can not only adjust my expectations, but also accept that everyone's plates will probably look a little different. Think about if you're all showing up at Chipotle, or, you know, I think of when my husband and I go, sometimes we meet for lunch and we go to this poke bowl place. I would say we both generally like the same things, and yet our poke bowls turn out completely different. It's kind of like the Chipotle of poke bowls. And anyways, you know, it's kind of like that concept. When you have a meal for the family, everyone's going to build their plate a little differently. This is why in Mealtimes Made Easy, I talk about a lot of different strategies. But one of the things, if you've been a longtime follower, or if you're part of the Mealtimes Made Easy community, you may be familiar with me talking about, is your dream bite. It can be hugely important for families to realize everyone's dream bite looks different. Everyone's perfect plate looks different. It's going to have different amounts of different components, and that's okay. So if we can adjust our expectations and then accept that what is crowd pleasing to everyone is going to be a different plate, then all of a sudden it becomes okay. That on chicken stir fry night, one of my kids had mainly rice. One of them was more into the edamame. One of them tried a bite of egg roll, mainly had some fruit, leaned pretty heavily on their glass of milk, and ate the cashews separate from the chicken. But I'm not using that as I need to build this the way that's Instagram worthy, picture perfect, shows my kid ate all these adventurous combinations of foods and flavors and blah, 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 blah. No, stop. Do not do that. Accept that everyone's plate is going to look different, and you will find so many more crowd pleaser meals come. The third and final thing I want to talk about is how we can accommodate. It is our job to decide what, when, and where food is offered, and for our kid to decide if, whether, and how much they eat. But we can look for ways to accommodate our kids, not only their feeding ages and stages and what are their physical abilities. You know, of course, modifying for choking hazards and things like that is the obvious here. But what I really want us to think about is within the Love It, Like It, Learning It framework, something I teach in depth within my Mealtimes Made Easy method. But if you've been a longtime follower, you've heard me talk about my trademarked framework, the Love It, Like It, Learning It framework.
And this is coming up with foods that your child loves, foods that your child likes, and foods that your child's learning. Go back and listen to all the episodes I've already shared where I've covered this. I have a lot of different content, and I'll try and remember to link this in the show notes as well. But it can be really helpful going into a meal when we're looking at coming up with a crowd pleaser. Because again, when I've adjusted my expectations and I've accepted that everyone's plate is going to look differently, now when I look at how am I accommodating my kids, knowing their preferences, knowing what they enjoy and what they're still learning to like and what they may or may not eat, how can I begin to accommodate it without making a separate meal? So on this given chicken stir fry night, I'm not coming up with separate things for them, but instead I'm looking at, is there a preferred food available? Are there love it foods there being offered that I know that they may lean on? And for the one child, it may be a glass of milk and fruit. For another child, it might be the white rice. For another child, it might be I'm offering edamame as a side because I know that's a preferred food. It's going to look differently for each family, and it's something that becomes so much easier. Now I don't even think about it, but I know with the families that I begin working with and the clients I have who are still at the beginning of this journey, it is something that takes a little bit more mental forethought. But once you begin seeing that you can accommodate everyone at the table without it being a huge extra effort, it's simply realizing, is there something that they may eat and may enjoy at the table? Because to loop back to the beginning of our conversation, that feeling you get as a parent when your kid asks what's for dinner and you know it's chicken stir fry and you know it's not their favorite, you know what I do? I lead with the preferred food. So if my child, the child who loves rice, I might say, well, we're going to have rice and cashews and edamame and chicken and vegetables. Or for the child who loves chicken but is less of a carb eater, I'm going to say, oh, well, we're going to have chicken and cashews and grapes and milk and rice. And so I'm going to position it to lead with the food that I know that they love. And then you kind of trail in and linger with the other foods that they might be learning to like. But when I do this, I know that there's always something at the table that I know that my child can enjoy, that I've seen them enjoy, that gives them some safe, enjoyable comfort food option at the table. And for me, that's a crowd pleaser. It means everyone at the table has something that they enjoy. Does it mean it's the same thing that's a crowd pleaser for everyone? No, not in my house and not in most houses of the families that I work with. But I think that if we can adjust our expectations, accept that everyone's plates are going to look a little different, and accommodate using the Love It Like It Learning It framework, we are going to feel so much freedom and so much more ease in coming up with crowd pleasers on those crazy weeknight dinners.
All right, friends, that's all we have for today, but make sure to scroll down to the show notes, click the link for signing up for my free workshop, or hop over to veggiesandvirtue.com/workshop for all the details and the signup info there. I look forward to getting to see you on Wednesday. I am super excited to share the roadmap for 2023 with you with tips that are going to help you simplify mealtimes each and every day, all year long. So if you want to know how to reduce mealtime overwhelm without the commitment of meal prepping every Sunday, make sure that you are signed up with me and we will go over everything that you need to know so that you can go from feeling exhausted and overwhelmed in feeding your family to achieving order in the sense of mealtime organization that makes coming up with healthy meal ideas simple, not just in January, but for the whole journey of 2023. So come join me with the link in the show notes or at veggiesandvirtue.com/workshop. I'll see you Wednesday.